across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
French kisses, come let me give you what you're missing. But you want some of these French kisses, I'ma make you say ooh la la. When I give you the French kisses, but we just not know your friend's business. But you want some of these French kisses, I'ma make you say ooh la la. When I give you the... Bonjour mademoiselle, comment tu t'appelles? Elle s'appelle Isabella, oh c'est vraiment belle. Hold up, it's your friend. She looking for a friend, I'm sure you got a man. Calling up a man, but she kick it with a gang. Little hoes from the ends, come jump into the Benz, and don't forget your friends. I got bad intentions, I can't lie, but I could tell you want it just by looking in your eyes. French kisses, come let me give you what you're missing. But you want some of these French kisses? I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you the French kisses. But we just not know your French business. But you want some of these French kisses, I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you them French kisses. French kisses.
Yeah, so so sexy, oh mama. Where you tryna go, girl, say ooh deeper. She just told me, show me what you do, papa. I'ma make you say ooh la la, ooh la la. Step inside, put your friends on the guest list. Nice with a tongue, pull her hair when we French kiss. Slide off a thong, make a moan and she meant it. She f***ed the kid way before I was trending. She classy but secretly kinda freaky. This one a good girl, she ain't on me for clout. Getting nasty in the taxi, we ain't even made it home. Didn't even have to say a word, just put my tongue in her mouth.
French kisses, come let me give you what you're missing. But you want some of these French kisses, I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you them French kisses. But we just not know your French business. But you want some of these French kisses, I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you them French kisses. French kisses.
Your lips, you're fine. Your hips, don't lie. It's in your eyes. I can tell that you want it, cause your lips, you're fine. Your hips, don't lie. It's in your eyes.
I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you them French kisses. Come let me give you what you're missing. But you want some of these French kisses. I'ma make you say ooh la la when I give you them French kisses. We do
not love your friend's business.
But you want some of these French kisses.
I'ma make you say ooh la la when you give me the French kisses.
Oh, that's the end of the song. Okay, that's fine. Hello, good evening, Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee.
I'm Catherine Boyle.
She's back. Different headphones, which I don't like. They're too deep. What I have found, I cannot stop listening to that song. And can everybody stop? People were stirring it up between me and Zazie last night. Zazie.
Yeah.
People were stirring it up on Twitter. There is no beef, or as some wag put it, boeuf, between me and Zazie, the singer of that song. What's going on between me and H is a different business altogether, and I do not want to discuss that.
It's none of your friend's business.
I am yay close to recording, what do they call it, a reply.
Oh.
What do they call it, a reply?
Yeah.
I'm recording a reply, and I'm recruiting David Babcock to do the rap in the middle. And all I need, guys, is from you, dear listener, and this is how we're starting the show, is I need £5,000 to go and film the video in Paris. So, if anyone's got 5,000...
It costs that much to go there, doesn't it?
Well, there's me, there's Jeff the cameraman, there's David.
Yep.
And well, I want to stay in a really, really nice hotel.
Oh, right.
And I would like to eat a meal. Very expensive in Paris. So that's the thing. I've fallen down the French kisses rabbit hole. If you've never heard the show before, right, and you stuck around because you're a big Mark Dolan fan. Oh, Mark's on the radio. I'll listen to Mark and then I'll stick around and see what's on after. Mark's great. Whatever is on after him has got to be in a similar kind of vibe. And you've got no idea what I'm talking about. What I'm not going to do is I've spent the whole week setting this up. So I'm not going to... If you don't know what's going on, it's tough. It's tough. What do I care? What do I care?
Catch up.
Catch up, right? Switch off. I don't care. But there are like a dozen videos of people reacting to the song French Kisses by Zazie.
Oh, right.
There's people... This is the new thing, right? This is the new thing. It's people watching other people's work and getting the credit for it. We the boys showed me one today. We like Ali A.
Yeah.
The YouTuber. Great. But I've noticed a lot of Ali A's films. There's another guy, an American guy called Preston, who I can't stomach Preston. They were filming in like this mansion, and I thought it was his dad's house, but it was his house.
Ooh.
And he's married, and he looks like 15. But what they do is, the Ali A one today, the new Ali A video today, is him watching this magician doing tricks and going, oh, no, that is insane. And that's it, the whole thing.
I've got a favourite reaction, man.
Yeah?
Brad Mondo. Hairdresser reacts.
Oh, yeah.
Girls tend to go online and do, I'm going to dye my hair blue.
Yeah.
How wrong could this go?
Yeah.
And he's a trained hairdresser, and he watches them basically mess up their hair. And it's really funny.
Well, okay, so you say.
No, it is.
But, well, so you say.
I did.
I know you did.
Because it is.
It doesn't make it. But, so, people, reaction videos, because I know reaction videos is bigger than the actual videos. And it's, I'm going to start doing reaction videos on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/IanLee, guys. Come on over. I'm going to start doing reaction videos because it requires no effort whatsoever on the reactor. You just have to sit there and go, I'm going to do it now, right? Just give me a word. Amy, just give me a word.
Potato.
Potato. Right, I'm going to type in potato into YouTube and we're going to see what comes up, right? And then I'm going to react to it. Okay, here we go. Here we go. This is it. Right, okay. We're going to react to every way to cook a potato. 63 methods. Okay. So this is how, this is all these videos are, right? Is this video will play after the advert. Okay, fine. They cut the adverts out. Okay, here we go. Okay, guys, welcome. Thanks very much for joining me, on my channel today. Today, I'm going to be looking at every way to cook a potato. Hit that like button, smash that like button. If you want to see more of my reaction videos, then please, please, please smash that like button.
Emil Stonic, editor at large at Bon Appetit.
This guy's got glasses on and he's called Emil Stonic. That is nuts.
This is almost every way to cook a potato.
We're straight in there with almost every way to cook a potato.
All right, today we're going to cook whole lot of potatoes.
Look at those potatoes on that chopping board.
There's potatoes out there.
It's like, I've never seen a red potato before. That's nuts.
Three potatoes. And this is...
That's like a normal potato. I know that potato. That's what I would do for a jacket.
It falls into the floury camp, and it's super versatile.
Floury potatoes? This is nuts.
How many different ways we can cook it. Raw potato.
This is whoa! Stop everything! What did this guy just say? What on earth did this guy just say?
Raw potato.
No! That is sick, man! That is the sickest thing! Etc., 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 to quote The King and I. And that would get you like a million views. So I'm just doing reaction videos.
Yeah,
from now on.
What's the point coming up with original content?
Well, that's it. I mean, that's all the Gogglebox is. And the idea for Gogglebox was stolen.
Yeah.
It was stolen from Flipside, a TV show that I used to present. I think Mark Dolan might have been on Flipside. He might have been. It was stolen. The Gogglebox was stolen from that. So reaction videos is the way forward. I've often thought of doing a podcast that is like a director's commentary of this show. So we would listen to this show and stop it and then talk about what was going on and deconstruct it and then go off on different tangents and then go back to the show. So the 3-hour show would end up lasting about 7.5 hours.
Gosh. People would stick with that?
With interruption. Oh, who cares? Who cares? I'm beyond caring, Catherine. I'm in the carefree zone. I've been nominated for two. This show has been nominated. You as well, Amy. You're part of it, but only a tiny part, if I'm honest. No, you're a part of it. Sam is a part of it. This show has been nominated for 2 awards, Catherine. Come next week, I'll be feeling all insecure and floppy again. But today I am erect in my pride because we have achieved something that nobody else has done. Name another show at this station that's been nominated for 2 awards. There isn't one. I don't think. There could be. I've not really looked at the other names. I don't care. But I am feeling cocky. I'm feeling boastful. I'm feeling proud. I'm feeling like I might jack all of this in and become a professional streamer. That's what I might do. Playing video games on my Twitch channel. Playing video games. Reacting to videos. That's all I want to do.
Just about potatoes or other
We'll start with potatoes. Then we'll move on to, I know, sweet potatoes. Then we'll move on to parsnips. And then, once we've done the potatoes, once we've done sweet potatoes, we'll do the potato song.
They're red, they're white, they're brown. They get that way underground. There can't be much to do. So now they have blue ones too. We don't care what they look like, we'll eat them. Any way they can fit on our plate. Every way we can conjure to heat them. We're delighted and think they're just great.
Maybe we won't do the potato song. 0344-499-1000, the late night alternative. We're on. Call us. This is the radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio. The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
I love being here, dear listener. It's a joy. It's a pleasure. It would be even better if you picked up the telephone and gave us a call. 0344. Is that the number? Yeah. 0344-499-1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Racist Britain, Meghan Markle, Big Bong's Ben's, Big Ben's Big. I'm breaking these in for somebody. Big Ben's Bongs, Brexit, and should Nigel Farage be knighted? These are all topics we'll be covering this evening. 0344-499-1000. Let's spell the number again. 0344-499-1000. Every now and then I get a little reminder that I'm an idiot. And today I got one of those reminders. It said, boy, it was God saying, boy, you need to put your feet on the ground a little bit. You're walking 6 inches in the air. You need to put your feet on the ground a little bit, boy. I was driving. And I just turned the steering wheel a little bit late, and I curbed it. Ding. I was thinking, oh man, I should really check the tire on that. Didn't need to. Immediately, the dashboard tire indicator flashed up 0, 0, 0. So luckily, I was not that far from a tire garage, and the tire was flat. I had to get a new tyre, and I had to do the tracking, and it cost me £200. It was £199.13, £200 for nothing. Yes. For not thinking. And someone, well done, dear listener, for noticing this. I often say this when I'm not feeling right mentally, as in terms of my depression, my driving is the first thing to go. Actually, my driving is the canary in the coal mine. The driving will often go before I've even noticed that I'm not feeling great. And it was a real stupid, dumb mistake, and it was annoying because I'd driven past that point before, but I forgot my Zoom digital recorder, so I'd gone back, and then it's £200 just for nothing. And you've got to go. And I had a fine the other day because I'd stopped in a bus stop, not even a bus lane. I'd stopped in a bus stop at half past one in the morning, just for 2 minutes, just to adjust my nuts. And £65 fine. So that's £265.
Just like that.
For nothing. Mm-hmm. It is God saying, boy, wipe that smile off of your face. Sit down. Join the human race. Relax. Relax. Slow down. You're moving too fast. Tomorrow morning, I'm not getting up before one. That's my plan. So sue me.
I would like to do that.
You've just driven all the way from Manchester.
Yeah, after having a very emotional morning. But I'm glad to be here.
Aren't we all? James is glad to have us, aren't you, James?
I am indeed. Good evening.
Good evening, James.
How are you today?
None of your freaking business, you piece of trash. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that. I'm absolutely on top of the world, fella. Sorry.
He's overtired.
Beautiful. I wanted to ask, why has he cost £500,000 for Big Ben's bongs?
Well, because it's out of commission at the moment. It's being repaired. So they would have to do extra special measures to get it in a bongable state. I mean, personally, I think you should just send a fella up there with a hammer to smack it a couple of times.
Just play a digital copy of it. Just play an audio copy.
Someone suggested that, and I don't see a problem with that. Now, it was rung on New Year's Eve, but...
It can't have been.
I think it must have been a recording. I think it must have been a recording at midnight on New Year's Eve, because it's been out of action for ages, maybe a year or so. Go on, Kath. Yeah.
Why don't we just do that? Stop fixing it. It's a waste of money. Just whack a digital thing up there. Set the timer.
Here
Bong.
We go. Sell it to the Chinese. Put a digital clock in there.
Bosh.
We're sorted.
Sponsored by Accurist.
Exactly. I don't know, James. Here's the thing. It's a load of... My friend Scott Balcony suggested on Twitter that they should get a team of Remainers and a team of Brexiteers who have to try and scale the clock and ring the bell. Whoever does it first wins. And that is the final... That is the final decision on whether we leave or stay. I don't know, James. These are the things that we are being told are important right now. Whether a bell rings at midnight. I mean... Or at least not even midnight, it's 11 o'clock, isn't it? This is what we're being told is important, and it's not important.
No, not at all. It's going to happen, end of day. That's it. Bells ringing or not.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, James.
All right, cheers.
There we go.
That's Big Ben sorted.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I never was there ever. A cat so clever as magical Mr. Mustafelis. Guess who our next caller is? Guess. Just take a second. Why would I get excited at seeing a name like that pop up on my screen?
I don't know. You're in a very strange mood.
We're going all the way to the United States of America. If anybody was listening to the end of the show last night, we did a Periscope Love Bomb. I would say our most successful. I found a young gentleman playing the keyboard, topless, looked like Stanley Johnson, wearing a feather boa, rainbow feather boa, and very, very tight shorts that were way too low.
It was an exuberant performance.
Way too low. I went there, one person. We took it up to about 230 people, ladies and gentlemen, all the way from the United States. It's the Bride of Christ.
Yes.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, man. How lovely. Now, do I call you the Bride of Christ, or do you have a name that we use?
You could call me Frank.
I'll be you be Frank and I'll be Ian. Hey Frank, nice to talk to you, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great since you guys changed my life last night. It was an experience I've obviously never had before, so it was great.
It was beautiful. We do it every now and then. So this is like a very silly late-night phone-in show, Frank. It's coming up to 10:30 here. And every now and then, if I'm not quite feeling the vibe, we'll do this thing called a Periscope Love Bomb, where I try and find someone who's not got any or not got many viewers, and all the listeners kind of pile in and just say nice things. It's not a mean thing at all. It's just to and the moment I saw you, my word, I thought I want a little piece of that pie. You were about to shut up shop when we found you, weren't you?
I was kind of getting into a funk after about an hour and a half. Sometimes I just lose my interest, and so I was like, I guess I'll quit, but... Then I kind of hung on longer than I thought I was going to.
It was lovely. We saw you. Literally, I think I was the only person in, and you were playing, and you were still giving it. And then you came to switch it off, and you went, okay, guys, I'm done. Oh, I think at that point you had about 150, and it got very close to 250 at one point. But you'd been playing for an hour and a half before that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Normally, I play for anywhere between that and 3 hours a day, just doing what I was doing, just improvising to random stuff that come on the either Spotify or Pandora.
And do you get many? Because Periscope, I kind of moved over to Twitch a little bit now, but Periscope I am fascinated by. Do you get many viewers, or are you kind of hovering in the single digits?
No, yeah, I'm right now I'm kind of like 150, like 150 a night, whereas it used to be mostly just between, single digits and maybe 50. But I tried Twitch, but for some reason I couldn't get my iPad and phone to sync,
right?
So that I could actually use the system. So yeah. I don't even know what that offers.
It's Twitch is fiddly. Once you get it going, it's good, but it's fiddly. How long you been playing for, man? You were brilliant last night.
I appreciate that. You guys are just so. I'm not used to all this adulation, so I'm just blown away.
Take it, because it's genuine. Take it.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. And I'm also sorry to hear you're in love, so I'll have to look elsewhere.
Hey, listen, Frank, no, don't you worry. We're going to... hang on a second, because I was thinking, wouldn't it be cool if I took tonight off work and just flew over to the States and then popped up on your stream singing with you? I couldn't remember on the map where you were. Whereabouts are you?
I'm like 10 minutes from New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. And why do you do it, man? Why do you do it?
Because I'm addicted to the love of learning. So ever since I taught myself how to play piano, I went to college for guitar at Berklee College of Music.
Wow.
And at the time, in 77, they weren't really having me transcribing Golden Years by David Bowie. So I kind of bounced out of that situation and taught myself how to play piano. And ever since then, I never play guitar. So anyway, it's just me practicing keyboard, and I'm putting it out there just so people kind of maybe might be inspired to just, if you're interested in something, explore it, love the aspect of learning, and don't worry if you're going to make a ton of mistakes like I did last night, because that's the part of humanity that we owe to each other, that we don't give to each other, because we put each other in situations where, oh, I don't want to hear you unless you can play it perfectly, or I don't want to listen to what you're saying unless you say it, you know, with a sound mind. Mm-hmm. We're frail, fractured beings, so yeah, I'm going to F up sometimes when I'm in a practice session. I'm not performing. I'm just inviting people into my practice. So sometimes when people respond, they say, you suck, or get off, you know, you're blah, blah, blah. They're missing the point, which you guys with your love bomb seem to totally understand, is I'm just out there saying, this is who I am. Love me. If not, that's fine. But do this for yourself so you can fall in love with the world and with the universe. That's basically what I'm doing, is kind of promoting the love of just learning.
This is great. We talk often on this show, Frank, about failure. Failure is so much more important than success, because I don't really learn anything when the show goes right. If I do a live show and it goes completely smoothly, what do I learn? I'm just treading water. When things go wrong, when I make mistakes, when I complete ideas fail, that's when I learn, and it's that thing. And I've really embraced it recently, and I'm trying to dive into it even more, of not being afraid to fail, even if it's in front of people. That's just as valid as doing something perfectly.
Absolutely, and that's the whole thing that really, I mean, I would be doing this anyway if I wasn't broadcasting it, streaming it. I would be doing it anyway because I love life, I love learning, I love music. But seeing as the technology is there, then why not throw it on and just connect with people?
What do you do, Frank? Do you perform? Obviously, you're brilliant and you've trained the guitar, even though you taught yourself piano. Do you perform? Is that a job, or do you have an inverted commas normal job?
Yeah, unfortunately, I have a normal job, which actually is not very normal, but you know, it's insurance and
right.
I have a master's in education administration, social studies, and special education. And right now I'm working as a special education teacher for mostly emotionally disabled high school girls who get outplaced from their public schools because they need residential treatment because they've got substance abuse issues or they're suicidal or whatever. Those are my students.
Where did you get the rainbow feather boa from? Because I want one, man. I want it.
Yeah. To be honest, this gorgeous girl left it behind on a windy night in the streets of New Haven. And when I saw it, I said, oh, my God, I love it.
It's so you, Frank. It's so you.
Yeah, I just love it.
Although next time, please pull your pants up. They were riding dangerously yesterday.
People keep saying that. And maybe that's a good sign that I'm finally losing weight. I'm trying to lose about 15 pounds, so I'm not recognizing that the shorts were dropping. So, but it's actually a good sign. It means my training is working.
You're looking great, man. You look hot.
Oh, thanks. I used to be about 220, and now I'm like 190, great. And I'm trying to get down to like
180. Okay. 75, 180.
Okay. How often do you do the streams?
How often do I do what?
How often do you do the periscopes? Is it every night or just when you feel like it?
Daily. Daily. In fact, it's usually between 5 and 8, and then on the weekend sometimes earlier because, you know, I'm not working.
Frank, honestly, thank you so much. This week has been a very weird week for me mentally and emotionally, and I'm in a very strange place. And we were with you for about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes of the show last night, and it was such a joy. A, because the music was brilliant, right? The music was brilliant. B, because we could all just tell that you were a really, really lovely guy when you were chatting to the camera, and we broadcast all of it. It will be in the podcast, I think, at some point. We'll send you a link. But when you were chatting to the camera, you were obviously a really, really lovely guy. It looked brilliant. You looked hot. It looks like a cool little music room. The feather boa is great. And it was really uplifting. And I'm going to be honest, I felt alive, and I felt, and this is not an exaggeration, my listeners will back me up, I felt pure joy watching you yesterday, Frank. So I want to say thank you so much for that. You gave me joy.
Oh, my God, man. You know, that is so sensitive for you and your viewers to pick up on that, because that is pretty much the message I'm trying to convey. And it's just, everything that we need can give to each other. And so that's basically what I'm doing. For you guys to respond so positively, that means the world to me.
One day, I don't know when, but the things are changing for me, Frank. And one day at some point, you're going to get a knock on you. We're going to stay in touch. And you're going to get a little knock on your door. There'll be no hanky-panky, but we're going to do a stream together. And that is a promise.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm honored. You play drums too, I think I saw.
I play a little bit guitar, a little bit of bass, but nothing, you know, nowhere in the. I can do a few chords, nowhere in the league of you, but I can come and I can half wail some tunes with you, and we'll have a laugh.
What was that Mephistopheles thing you were singing?
Oh, that was from Cats. You've not seen the Cats movie, have you?
No, I'm not a big Broadway.
No, but it's supposed to be awful, though. So I tell you what we'll do. I'm going to come over. I'll get the DVD. We'll stay in and we'll watch Cats. We'll learn all of the songs, and then we'll stream us singing cat songs. How about that?
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Perfect. Hey, Frank, thank you so much for calling, man. And I know you've noticed you're following me on Twitter. I'm following you on Periscope. I might pop in over the weekend and have a little look. Keep in touch, brother. And again, thank you for making us smile yesterday.
Oh, my God, pure, what's better than pure joy? I mean, I'm going to live off of that. Thank you so much.
We'll speak again soon, Frank. Frank, take care.
You too.
Thank you, bye-bye. What a nice guy. If you missed it last night, it was magnificent. He's going in a podcast, isn't he, if he's not in there? Let's do a special Periscope Love Bomb podcast for next week. Put it out next week, because that whole 20 minutes was just wonderful. Oh, it was magic. What a nice guy. What a sweetheart. Was he flirting with me?
Yes, and you were flirting back.
Fantastic. Ethan.
Hi, Ian, how you doing?
All right, Ethan, what you got for us?
Well, I've been a very, very long time listener. I just wanted to call and talk about how great last night was.
Hang on one second, hang on. Is this your first time calling?
Yeah, this is my first time calling.
Jesus. Have you got your...
I had the bell out yesterday when you weren't here, Kath. You
I know,
yeah,
I heard.
Where's the bell? I want the bell.
The bell's coming.
Everyone wants the bell, this is the thing. And he's never got it to hand.
Here we go.
Yes!
Happy brilliant. Now!
That's off the bucket list.
Have you got your plug in there? Because I'm about to run out of juice.
There's my plug. Go on. Yeah, go on then, Ethan.
Right, yes. I was just listening to the show last night and how great it was with Frank and everything. And, well, Ian, basically, I'm calling to tell you that I'm a guitar player myself. I've been playing for quite a long time, self-taught. Yeah. And I'm going to send you some of my stuff so you can see, you know, I'm the real deal and everything.
Yeah.
And I think you, me and Frank should get together and form the next supergroup.
This just sounds amazing. And sorry, I think the line dropped for a second there. Did you say that you're going to pay for me and you to go over to Connecticut? I think you said that, didn't you?
I mean, I might have said it. I'm not too sure. But someone will pay, as long as it's not us.
Someone has got to pay.
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Billy Hayes is loving this. Thank you, Billy. French Kisses, Zay Zay, and H.
kisses, mwah. I'm gonna make you say ooh la la. French kisses.
There's French kisses that which is now the theme. It's the theme of the show. And here's the thing: when Brexit happens, which is very, very soon, less than a fortnight, I have suggested that this becomes the new national anthem, and we have it played instead of the bongs. That, in fact, ZZ and H provide the bongs. If you know what I mean, Jelly Bean. Whoa, yeah, I just went there. Good evening, dear listener. It's the late night alternative. We don't really talk about the show much these days. Keep it on the
down low.
Keep it on the down low. If you've noticed, I've not tweeted about the show because it's our little secret.
It's none of their business.
It's none of their business. Although we're up for two awards. Sam, we're up for two awards. And one of the awards you guys can vote for, right? Here are the three options. A multimillionaire gets a new job. That's option one. Option two. A lady multimillionaire gets a new job. Option three. We stopped a guy from dying. Now, I don't want to...
We're not going to push you. Obviously, it's your choice.
Up to you, guys.
But just have a little think.
It's up to you. A millionaire gets a new job. Option two, a multimillionaire female gets a new job. Option three, we saved a guy's life. Now, it's up to you who you vote for, guys, but...
I mean, you've got to live with yourself.
Although, if I were Chris Evans, I would pay... what's his name? Bernie Winters Lee. Who's the guy? Bernie Winters Lee. Schnobbits. The internet guy. Bernie Winters Lee. Guy that invented the
Tim
internet.
Tim Burnham
Westfield. What's a guy's name who invented the internet, Catherine? You're my go-to for internet news.
Tim Berners-Lee.
Tim Berners-Lee. I would just, if I were Chris
Evans.
Tim Berners-Lee in Berners-Lee. If I were Chris Evans.
Yeah.
I would say, all right, Tim. I don't know how he talks.
Apparently, just like me.
All right, Tim. That's £1 million. Make me a bot that vote for me all time. Here's the thing about bots, right? They're very clever. Very clever. Very, very, very clever.
But that's true. Is that it?
No, but they can't tick a little box that says, I am not a robot. No. They can't do that.
No, and they can't tick a box that says, this has got a bridge in it.
Do you know what? I've told you why, so don't spoil the answer. Do you know? Do you remember what I told you?
You told me that one of your relations... What?
Don't spoil the answer. Do you remember what I told you?
When? You've told me a lot of stuff. Most of it not true.
Do you remember any of the stuff I've ever told you?
Some I can't get out of my head.
Give me some bits.
Well, which bits?
Do you remember what I said? Oh, screw you. Sam is back. Sam, it's great to have you back, mate, if that is indeed your name. Do you know when you... Don't mouth it to him.
What?
Look at me. Look at me, Catherine. Look at me.
Go on.
Look at me.
I'm looking.
Look at my gaze. Sat in the corner. Be quiet, gaze. Do, Sam, when you have to validate you're not a robot, it will quite often say, click all the pictures of traffic lights. Do you know why?
Yeah. Did you say because they're collecting data?
Oh, you're a piece of trash. And you're a piece of trash. Turn your mic off.
Hello.
I prefer the wispy girl we have normally. Amy. I prefer Amy.
Wispy.
She's wispy.
She's tiny.
Come on to Tabel. Isabella. Lola's here, my girl.
Oh.
My weekend.
You haven't introduced yourself.
I'm Ian Lee.
I'm so, so sexy. Oh, my, my.
Didn't ask, but it's true. I've had a terrible weekend. I watched... at least three Adam Sandler films. That's how bad my weekend was. I watched at least three. I watched, and here's... You asked, I'll tell you. Started off with Sandy Wexler. Scores very badly on IMDb.
Is that a real film?
It's a real film. He plays an agent in it. I enjoyed it a lot. I give it 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then I watched I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Homophobic, racist, offensive. 10 out of 10. No. No. It did make me cry, but that's because I was in a weird mood. But there is a whole scene. Rob Schneider, who I've met. I know Rob. as a Japanese dude with the eyes and the teeth.
Wow, yeah, no, really?
And the yellow
face.
He did
a Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, in 2009. I thought, well, this is like early 90s, 2009. Lots of chucking around offensive F-words for gays. It was awful. 5 out of 10. And then I watched the incredible Mr. Deeds. It's called Mr. Deeds. I put the incredible on there, just like Great Britain. I didn't put that on there, but you know what I mean. Someone did, and I did today. It was my turn today to put incredible in front of Mr. Deeds.
Tell me about the movie. Waxing on about the title.
Starring Adam Sandler. Mm. Oh, and I'll tell you something that I'm working on. I loved it. And very, very sneaky, sir. I think you'll... Have you seen it? It's good, isn't it, Sam? You just snuck up on me. Oh, I'm very, very sneaky, sir. You underestimate my sneakiness. I could watch it. It was funny. Loved it. 9 out of 10.
Gosh.
Here's my next...
Can I give you my film review? Go on.
I don't think my fans are interested.
They'll be into this one.
I don't think my fans
Hustlers,
are...
Hustlers, Jennifer Lopez. Oh. Gets a bum out.
I know, I've seen that bit.
4 out of 10.
For her bum?
It was no Showgirls.
I would say...
Although they did Showgirls.
I would say Jennifer Lopez is the most beautiful woman in the world. Prove otherwise. Give me...
This guy.
She's
looking at the proof.
Kat's had a glass of wine tonight, guys. We went to a pop concert in someone's living room.
I'm feeling sassy.
The fabulous Narina Palo in someone's living room. 30 people crammed into a living room. Yeah. And it was wonderful.
Dog nearly got set on fire.
That's not a euphemism.
Yeah, Hustlers. They kind of tried to make it like some sort of heist jape.
It's based on the true story, mate.
I know, but I didn't like any of them. Not one. I wasn't rooting for any of them.
Okay. I'm worried that either the phones are broken or Alan Caddick is dead.
Uh-oh.
I know which one I'm more worried about, because it's really hard to do a show without phones.
Oh, now, come on.
Jokes, guys. Yeah. Bants, a little bit of Bants. The LB, the A, the N, the T, the Z. It's Bants.
I also saw a film called The Witch.
I kept quiet for too long, giving you plenty of opportunity to jump
just
in.
Just a moment you gave me.
Okay.
And that, I think, might have been good, because I can't work out whether it was good or terrible.
Okay.
I think probably good.
Do you know what's going to happen to me before the end of the year? I'll be charged with your murder. But aside from that, and I'll plead guilty, because I'll have done it, I'll have murdered you, is what I'm saying.
And this.
But aside from that, here's where I'm... Please, you've got hair in your eye. It's really annoying me. Push it to one side.
That bit. You're not the boss of
me.
Oh,
it's annoying
you're
me.
You're not in charge of my fringe.
Sam, can you get some scissors? Here's my plan. By the end of the year...
Yes.
I will appear in an Adam Sandler movie.
Oh, shut up.
What? He makes about 5 a year.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought he'd discovered Netflix now.
Yeah, exactly. He makes them on Netflix. So, this is my... Don't say shut up to my dreams. How dare you say shut up to my dreams? How dare you? Might as well spit at my kids. How dare you?
Are they?
By the end of the year...
I like your kids.
By the end of the year, I will appear... And it rhymes, and I've got no way of stopping it. By the end of the year, I will appear in an Adam Sandler movie. That's my prediction. Name one prediction I've got wrong so far. Don't. You can't. You can't.
All right, Darius Dinesh.
And it'll be a triple platinum selling movie.
Yeah, and you'll be bashing on my door and saying, I'm so sorry, Darius.
03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. It's in one of those moods. You know, I'm so tired. So tired. I've got a cold again after not having had a cold. Well, after having had a cold recently, I've got another cold.
How do you know it's a different cold?
Because I ran tests on it in my lab. I hope I've not got that Chinese flu. Don't panic about the Chinese flu. 3 people have died. But what do you know about those 3 people that died? Because I know quite a lot about them. What do you know?
I don't know anything.
Well, I'll tell you. They're all over 60. They all had other conditions. Don't panic. They don't say that in all the news bulletins. They only say that in the clever news bulletins that I listen to, right? So So you're going, oh, shoot, man, there's three people have died. And you're thinking, like, yourself or like, fit people like me. But no, they're all over 60. I don't have any more specifics than that, I'm afraid. So it could be like over 75. And they all had pre-existing. I'm saying it.
You're saying it in a funny way, though.
I'm saying it in an emphatic way.
Can I help?
No. All right, join him. They all had pre-existing conditions. So panic over. Panic over, all right?
I wasn't panicking. I didn't really know anything.
But if you're over 60 and you've got a pre-existing condition, you're screwed, is the thing. I'm putting out a request for a call tonight, if I may be so bold. I'm going to play you... Let me just play you one little clip on my computer.
Yeah.
Grab pussy!
That's Paul McCartney, bass player for Wings and the Beatles. I was playing video games over the weekend with some listeners of the show. One of them is Ghost Pervert, David Babcock.
Hoover botherer.
He does an amazing impression of Paul McCartney saying that awful phrase,
grab pussy.
It, honestly, when you hear Babcock doing it, I just kept saying, do it again, do it again, do it again. So, 0344, David, you know the rest. I don't even need to say the rest. You've got the hotline to us. This is... I wasn't going to take any calls tonight. Look, I've given the number out. We've got a load of calls lined up. Oh, well, them's the breaks. Them's the breaks. You look muscular, Sam. You've been working out.
He looks so, so sexy.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
David Babcock.
Yo, yo. Hello, how are you doing?
Now, please, mate, come here. Don't.
Yeah?
Don't let me down.
Oh.
I've been bigging you up all evening together.
I know.
Yes, yeah.
Don't let me down. All right, son? If you're not feeling up to it, I can fake it by pressing the button here twice, all right? You know what I mean, son? Now, right. Over the weekend, David, who has recently become a father, has... has perfected many, many impressions of obscure northern people.
David, who is still denying paternity of the child.
Yeah. So, this is... Right, okay, well, we're going to see which one's Paul McCartney and which one's David Babcock. Here we go.
Grab pussy.
That's one, and let's hit...
Oh, I messed it up.
Okay. Well, no, you didn't. I messed it up. I pressed the button by mistake, maybe. Let's go again. Right, let's go again. So this is take one.
Grab pussy.
This is take two.
Grab pussy.
Which one was... Now, Catherine. Which one was Paul McCartney?
Fab or fake?
Fab or fake? Now, let's hear number one again. Is this fab or fake? Number one, here we go.
Grab pussy.
Is that fab or fake?
Fab. It's got to be fab.
Okay, and you're saying that this...
Grab pussy.
...is fake.
Yeah.
David, do you want to tell her?
You can do it right now, please.
You can do it right now, please.
I admire your dedication, David. That's lovely.
This is my weekend, was getting him to say those two phrases over and over again.
Have you been practicing that around the baby, though? It's not very nice.
I've not been saying grab pussy near a baby.
You shouldn't.
Now, we're getting a little bit niche. It's almost as if I don't care anymore. There's a guy who calls up the show. He's called Ollie.
Yeah.
And I've just remembered something, but I can't say it on air. David, can you...
What's
do
that?
Your impression? Nothing. Can you do your impression of Ollie, please?
This is like the nichest thing you've ever done. It's basically just for you and Kath.
I want to hear it.
Hi, Roger.
Can you do Roger?
I can do Roger, yeah.
Do Roger.
Hey, I've just had a pizza. I've just had a pizza. And it was a spicy pizza. Right.
Do Ollie one more time.
Hi, Matty.
And do McCartney one more.
Grab pussy.
Have you ever thought you might be listening to this a bit too much?
What's the, what is it?
I thought of a way we're going to make you rich.
pledge.meatfreemondays.com. 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 You can do it right now, please.
You can do it right now, please.
Wait, David.
Yeah.
At some point this year.
Yeah.
We're gonna do a live show. Me, you, and Kath.
Right.
At a venue in London, probably the Half Moon in Putney. I'm just putting this out there now. I don't care if you're interested or not. You're doing it.
Okay.
And the Half Moon in Putney. I'm putting this out there to the listeners. And well, I think I know what the first half is going to be, but that's top secret.
It's going to be Fabcock or Babcock. Thanks, Billy Hayes.
And the second half is going to be a Q&A that me and Catherine will host. Are you up for it?
Who's the guest?
It's you.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Hey, Ian.
Hello.
I've got... you might not want to touch it with a barge pole.
Okay.
But,
what is it?
Chuck Winkle rang me. You know, the American correspondent.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a spicy theory. It's very spicy.
Why don't you ask him to WhatsApp it to me?
Right.
And I'll let you know if it's too spicy. I've got a feeling it probably is. Hey, David, say hello to my friend Alan.
I am in the Babcock. Hi, Ian. Is that me or not David? I can't tell the difference.
It's me in the mirror.
I can't tell the difference here. This is uncanny.
There's an echo on the line. You're right, Kadek, how are you doing?
I'm not bad, David. I thought I was talking to myself then.
It sounded like it, didn't it?
You generally are. Alan, what can we do for you?
Well, we're a bit late calling, but we'll catch
up. Who's dead?
I'll stand back answering the phone.
Yeah, who's dead?
Well, last week, it was Oscar Blaketon.
Oscar Blaketon?
Derek Fowles.
Oh, Derek Falk. All right, Mr. Derek. All right. Oh, well.
All right. Can I go?
No.
Jesus.
What's latest news on the Birmingham tickets for the Rabbit Hole?
Selling very, very healthily, unlike Glasgow and Cardiff.
Come on, Glasgow. Come on, Cardiff. Get your finger out.
Well, that'll do it. David, what are you still doing here?
I can't. I'll hang up. I'll see you. Bye.
Yeah, okay. 0344 499 1000. Did we do the quarter past break? Oh, man, I was really looking forward to that. Need a breather. Let's go to... Now, how do I say your name? Is it Sharan?
Sharan.
Hey, Sharan. How you doing? You sent us a couple of emails that I've not got round to getting back to. How you doing?
I'm good. Yeah, I just wanted to see if I could get a response because my options are tomorrow.
Sharan emailed me. 14 years old?
Yep.
14 years old.
13,
roundabout.
Right.
Round about 13 or 14. And options for GCSE are being chosen tomorrow.
Right.
And I'm going to choose them.
No!
I am going to choose them!
Are you crazy, Sharan?
Sharan, so tell the listener, tell Catherine what's going on.
So my options are tomorrow and I've been quite pressurized over the last of year nine,
yeah.
And everyone's kind of expecting me to know what I'm going to be, and my parents are as well, but I kind of don't know what I want to be.
No.
So I'm kind of confused what to choose and stuff.
I think that's quite usual.
Your mum and dad want you to be a doctor, right? Or a dentist, yeah?
Not really. They want me to. They think that's what I want to be.
Hang on. Your parents.
It's a bit confusing.
Your parents think you want to be in medicine.
Yes.
Well, what do? Okay, I'm assuming. Do you want to be in medicine?
Not really.
Okay.
It's kind of pressurizing knowing you can affect someone's life. That human.
Yeah. Okay. And what do your teachers think?
My teachers don't really care, I think, because I talk to quite a few of them and they just say, it's up to you, just choose what you like.
It is up to you.
And I've tried that, but then nothing really comes up.
It is up to you, but it's so much easier to say that when you haven't got the weight of parents' anticipation on your shoulder. You're an artist.
Nope.
I can feel. I'm don't feeling. I don't mean art as in painting. You're creative.
You could say that, I guess.
What? Tell me what you like doing.
Mainly geography and photography.
creative. There you go. It's too creative. Two of the most creative subjects in the world. And you're 13, 14 around the area. You know, I mean, I knew I wanted to be an actor. But that was, you know, but that was kicked out of me by the teachers. You said, you'll never be an actor. Don't be so stupid. Why don't you become a teacher? Not many people know at that age what they want to be.
How many subjects have you got to choose?
At least 4 or 5, because I've got to a grammar school, so I'm kind of
all right. So it is really getting narrowed down quite a lot. Because when I was taking my options, it was like 8 to 10.
I think I had like 5, but then they were like 3 on top, like maths and English that you have to do.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
No, these are like 4 or 5 optional subjects. Those compulsory subjects, they don't count them as subjects you choose.
Here's the thing. We cannot tell you what to choose. But you know that, right?
Yeah.
I can give you some really silly old man advice that you'll be disappointed with. It's the best I can do. And this is great advice, but you'll be disappointed with it until you're 46. And then you'll go, oh, man, he was right. Follow your heart, my friend.
Oh.
Okay. Hmm. Here's what
I... What's your response to that?
Mainly what you predicted.
Yeah.
Kind of. I'm not going to tell you what to do. I can't. It wouldn't be fair. Because I don't know you. And even if I did know you, I wouldn't tell you. Follow your heart. There will be. I'm assuming there will be subjects you absolutely detest, some you're not that bothered with, and some that you love.
The thing is, there are subjects I love, but the teachers are... absolutely awful.
They might die. Like, they might die. No, I don't. I mean that seriously. The number of subjects, the turnover of teachers when I was a kid, teachers when I was a teenager was a lot. It's even more now. You might not get those teachers. If you love the subject, you have to look beyond the personality of the person teaching you.
Okay.
Can I add a bit of old woman advice?
Okay.
Pick things you can do brilliantly at. Because actually, when it comes down to it, passing them well is what gets you to the next step.
I think that's already what I like, what I'm good at. So
yeah, exactly. And those are the ones. Those are the ones. The ones you find kind of easy and you enjoy.
I would disagree about finding them easy necessarily.
There are some that you find it easy to be interested in.
There we go. That's different. That's better. Yeah, that's better because it's good to challenge ourselves. As long as you enjoy the challenge.
Okay.
You might not know what you want to do until you're 38. You might not know. It's not always that clear cut for everybody.
Okay.
It's really easy to say because I'm financially independent. I'm nearly 47 years old, right? You have to start pointing towards a career. It doesn't have to be definite, but you have to kind of start heading towards a career that you will be happy doing every day for the rest of your life. Not that your mum would be happy seeing you do, not that your dad would be happy seeing you do, but something you think in good conscience you can do well and enjoy every day for the rest of your life. Now, the decisions you make at 13 and 14, they are very, very important. They're not everything. They're not everything. You can still change them. You can still change your mind. You can still change direction. The whole point of education is to find stuff that you enjoy and that you like and that your brain understands. And you might put down a course and then 6 months into it go, geez, this is like Chinese to me. And you can then change. What you decide now, even though it's important, it is not the be-all and end-all. It will not necessarily determine the path that your life takes.
Okay, thank you.
And I know we're being vague, and that is because I cannot sit here and say, right, okay, well, I think from column one, you should do geography. I don't know if it's still in columns. You should do geography, you should do British history, you should do... I can't say that. Only you can say it.
there's another little bit as well into this. This isn't just about getting you a job. This is about making you an interesting person, right? And you can decide later in the day exactly what you fancy doing. You might get a better idea. You might. A lot of people don't, like Ian says. But there are certain things that you're good at and you're gifted at. And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
It'll make you an interesting person if you're doing things that you're passionate about.
Okay. There's just one more thing I want to ask. I've got a Nintendo Switch and I'm kind of stuck on what games to get. Do you have any recommendations?
Yeah, now I can tell you. Yes, definitely. Now we've got a question that I can give you specific answers on. You've obviously got Mario Kart, right?
Yes.
Okay, you've got Mario Kart. You've got Let's Dance, yes?
No.
Shut the front door. Let's Dance 2020 is ridiculous, it's stupid, it's silly, and me and my youngest son play it together all the time, and we take it. I've filmed us doing it.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Okay, well, legally, I've checked. We, before the advert there for Mike Graham, I said to David that we would talk to him then. I've checked with the lawyers, and we do actually have to talk to him. It counts as what they call an electronic guarantee. So, David.
Hey, that music sounds crap, doesn't it?
I wrote that music.
Oh. Sorry.
I'm really proud of it, actually.
No, I didn't say crap. My voice broke. It is. Right. Rap.
What can we do for you, David Babcock?
Well, I want you to. I've been. As people will know me and you will know, I've been writing this horror book, haven't I?
Yes, you have. 101 Ghost. What's it? Is that what it's called? 101 Ghost Stories?
No, it's called Page Turners and Spine Chillers.
Page turners and spine chillers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, because you have pain.
Pain?
You have pages. You have pages in the book and you have a spine, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Okay. It works on two levels.
And you just check in. You've checked that title hasn't been used already, yeah?
I'm not as clever as that. I'm just going for it.
What's it called? Page chillers and what?
Page turners and spine chillers. I think I've Googled it. No, it doesn't exist. Copyright. Babcock.
I cannot say it. You're right. You've got it. Okay, well done. Well done.
Swivel on that.
Oh, right. Watch your language.
Come on.
Sorry.
We're heading in a newsier direction now. Can't you tell?
Sorry. Well, you want Chuck Winkle for that, not me.
No, we don't.
Hey, I want a quote from you.
A quilt?
A quote. I've just sent you a message, right? Are we on WhatsApp?
Well, I'm doing a radio show, but let's have a look. David Babcock. How did you get my personal number?
Cass gave it me.
Cass!
Sorry, I was fed up of him phoning me.
Flipping heck, mate. What's your quote for the book front cover?
And do you want to see the book front cover?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are we doing this on air? This should be a private...
No, I don't know.
David Babcock. I can't read what it says at the bottom.
Click it.
No, I've clicked it. Well done, David. Mary Lynn, David's mum. Gosh darn it, John Wayne. This is a book. Chuck Winkle, US journalist. 4 stars, Ghosts Weekly magazine. I literally SH1T myself. Derek Bramble, paranormal journalist. With respect, David.
Yeah.
That was the quote I sent you from me.
Oh, God.
Wasn't it?
I knew I'd got it from somewhere. for God's sake.
Yeah, I sent you that. So Derek Bramble has stolen my quote.
He must have been listening.
Must have read your mind.
My quote is, Derek Bramble stole my quote.
I'll do that. That's even better.
Thank you very much indeed, David Babcock. He's actually writing a book. He's written a book. He's going to come
in
when he's...
Well, you say he's written a book. I wrote about 3 of the stories.
I wrote 2 of them. He's kind of going to come in when the book is written and talk about it, which I'm very, very excited about. Gatford!
Hey! No? Yeah. Okay, fine.
No.
What were we supposed to do to that?
Well, I don't know.
Join in?
What? I don't know. It's just
sounded disappointed.
Sorry. Hello, Ian. Hello, Kath.
Good evening.
Good evening. If you're checking out films about people being buried alive, yep. When I was trying to find your one, I came across one that I remember watching when I was younger called The Screaming Woman. It's another 70s one, and it's about a woman who gets committed to a mental hospital for rest, and as she's walking around the ground, she hears the screams of a woman buried. And her family use it, and no one believes her, and they try and get her committed, you know, and get all her money taken away. And it's that kind, not quite as scary as your one. It's not based on a true story, but I remember watching it and being absolutely terrified of it as a kid.
But she gets buried in it.
No,
I wasn't listening.
No. She thinks she believes she hears the screams of a buried woman in the grounds of this.
Is anyone buried in it?
Yep.
But they gaslight her and say it's not happening.
Yep.
Who is buried in it?
The woman that she hears.
The screaming woman.
Right, but who is that scream? Why is this such a difficult conversation?
I haven't seen it in a while. I can't remember the ending. I can't remember if she's real or not.
Oh.
But it terrified me as a kid that there was somebody buried and buried alive, and that she could hear her, but she couldn't find them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't sound as...
No, it sounds good.
I just remember it.
Apparently this Candy Snatchers film is real. From 1973. It's the one where I just played it, and it had all jolly kinds of music and stuff on there. But it was...
You clicked on a link from Lino. Are you okay?
Yeah, but here's the thing. It was images of some beautiful teenagers kidnapping and shooting kids.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's what was going on. Wow. In 1973 style. No, that's a no, is it, Kath?
That's a hard no from
me. That's a no. Kath is out of the Candy Snatchers. Is anybody in? No?
Do you know what I'm fed up of?
Yeah.
Anything that's got a woman being murdered in it. Everything. It's always a woman.
If I can find a thing where it's men being murdered, would you watch that with me?
I don't really want to watch people being murdered.
Well,
call me squeamish.
All right. You don't see the murder. Shut up! You don't see the murder, but you hear the murder.
No, still.
You don't
out.
Hear the murder. No. You read. Someone reads a letter about a murder.
No mercy, not for me.
So a murder happened, but you don't. They don't even mention it.
No thanks.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yes, Gatford.
Do you remember the furore over the girl with the dragon tattoo about people suggesting that it was very misogynistic?
I do remember. Yeah, it's a boring book.
I worked with someone who, anytime anybody brought that book into work, used to go around and rip the last few pages out.
Oh, now come on.
Well, that's not nice.
No, I know, and I desperately wanted to buy the book, bring it in, have her do it, and then have a go at it.
I read the book. I think I enjoyed that. My father-in-law bizarrely got into the trilogy, but then Stieg Larsson died, and then like someone wrote...
Yeah, someone else took it over.
There are so many... This is what I'm trying to get at, right? Earlier on, I was talking about Stephen King. There are so many authors who stopped writing, either because they died or just because in Stephen King's, because I think he went bonkers. He started taking
books under a pseudonym, didn't he?
Richard.
Didn't he have a raging coke habit at one point?
I said, okay, let's all just try and focus on one point at a time. Richard Harkness or Richard, it was something like that, right? So he wrote under a pseudonym, then he became a massive cokehead, and then I think some of his books were written by other people. I could be wrong. I do know that a friend of my sister's, I think, stepped out in front of him while he was driving, and Stephen King gave him the bird. I believe that happened. I'd have to check that, Joe, if you're listening, if you could let me know. And now, because of you two, I've completely lost my
Roger Hargreaves.
What?
His boy writes the books now, doesn't he?
Mr. Men, yeah. Oh, yeah, so a lot of authors that don't write their books anymore. Catherine Cookson doesn't write her books anymore.
No.
Who?
Frank Herbert, his kid, now writes all the Dune books, Kevin Herbert.
That's which is stupid. Why? It's like,
What?
Sorry?
Hello?
Oh, I thought you meant me.
Well, you are, but no, it's stupid. Why should my kid be able to do this radio show? Just because of the DNA?
I don't know, but I'd like to hear it.
It will happen one day. The youngest will do it, definitely.
No, I know what you mean. Just because why do you necessarily have to be...
There was a story the other day that Tolkien's youngest son had died. Mm-hmm. They showed a picture of him. He was like a really, really old man.
He was 90-odd, wasn't he?
He was nearly 100.
I think he took over writing. I think he finished The Silmarillion, which Tolkien wrote. I think you're right, it's another one. There's an epidemic.
The reason why the sons do it is to keep the money.
Oh, no. Oh, come on.
They do. The father will copyright it, and it'll be part of his estate.
To carry on the father's...
The legacy and the money, yes.
Outrageous, Gatford. Thank you so much for that. You're cold. A cold-hearted woman.
This is the second time you've said that today.
Making love to me.
What?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
That is a genuine question. Catherine, you are outrageous. That is a genuine question. How do you get dead men's sperm?
Well, and also, you know, like with the other sort of donation, organ donation, they have to do it when you're not quite dead. Is it that?
No, they don't. You're telling me they take your heart out when you're not quite dead?
Not quite.
So, not quite dead means alive.
Well,
you're telling me they take your eyes and your heart out when you're alive.
No.
I'm really sorry, Mrs. Boyle, but your husband is dead. Well, he's dying.
Yeah.
We really need his heart and his eyes and his kidneys now.
I've seen it.
When's he going to die? Could be in a minute, might be in a week. If we have them now, it could save up to 5 other people.
What, eyes? Who's getting
what? He only came in to have his verrucas done.
Do
you think you can donate your eyes?
Yeah, no, I've got a donor card. You can have everything.
Don't want it.
Take the lot.
Here's the thing. You said that to me at a drunken Christmas party once.
I bloody never.
Here's the thing. A lot of people will not donate their eyes.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
That's weird. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't donate my hand because, of course, there is the famous story, isn't there?
Of the murderer.
The guy that got a hand transplant and then he went around strangling people because the guy who he got the hand from was a famous murderer. I don't know if it's true. It's true that that story was made, that there is a movie where that happens. I don't know the basis.
I don't think it was a documentary.
Well, most movies have an element of truth in. You can't just make up a story. It comes from experience. So someone somewhere...
What, like Willy Wonka?
Yeah. Again, back to the dead sperm. Men... We're heading in a newsier direction, guys. I really hope you get the change of vibe.
Can't you tell?
Men should be allowed to donate their sperm after death, say experts, or as I call them, sexperts. Or perverts. Medics want rules changed so British blokes...
Best of beef.
Can pass on their semen like organs and other human tissue. Ooh, I wouldn't want another human's tissue. It would mean men could end up fathering a child years after they have died. So it'd be zombie babies. The UK currently has a shortage of donor sperm, and demand is on the rise. Feed me now!
So what's the thought then? People aren't doing it while they're alive in case what? They get chased for maintenance.
No.
But once you're dead, what they're going to do?
No, well, they changed the law, didn't they?
Yeah, they can look you up.
They can, if you donate, because it used to be a big earner in the 90s. I considered it.
Students, yeah.
I considered it. You get £15 a pop.
Make your hobby your job.
And, but you can, well, you could only do it like once every 4 days or something. But yeah, and then you go and it was anonymous. You get 15 quid a pop. I know people that did it. I considered it. And then like 10, 15 years later, they changed the law so that the kids who nothing to do with you could come and find you. One bloke I know had 168 people turn up on his door. True, they had to hire 4 minibuses.
Do you remember when we were talking to people who were doing it on Facebook?
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Because they said that IVF was too expensive, so they were buying samples on Facebook from sometimes. Let's.
Oh,
not
this was true. We did
mince
actually.
Our words, dodgepots. Some people wanted to give it fresh, if you know what I mean.
It was bloke. It was quite often. It was lesbian couples who couldn't get a donor through legitimate. This is absolutely true. It sounds made up through legitimate ways, and didn't have like a male friend that was or didn't have a male friend. So they would go on Facebook and blokes were advertising semen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, nearly said a rude word then. And sometimes it would be like they'd come round and they'd deliver it in a little pot. But sometimes they'd want to...
Straight to source.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to deliver it door to door, and one door being a lady's door.
Mm.
What about one in six couples struggles with infertility, with half of issues linked to the male partner? Okay. So half of them are linked to the female partner. That's fine. That's, you know. Writing in the Journal of Medical Ethics, experts claim harvesting samples. When will there be a harvest for the world?
They knew.
The Christians, who ironically would actually be against this. Is
not all Christians.
The thing is, you're all grizzled.
Beg your pardon?
You are tired, old, grizzled mother of two, right? So you're done. You're done.
I really am done.
You're done.
Despite a lot of people begging for me to do a little bit more for the genetic well-being of this country, but no.
What? Who wants you to have another baby?
The gene pool. The gene pool wants me to.
We could make a show,
no,
babe.
No, let's not.
Me?
Nope.
Oh. We don't have to look at each other.
Ooh.
What?
What an image.
All right, why don't you and Sam have a baby?
I don't want a baby with anyone, I'm done. But not because I'm gnarled.
All right. So you're gnarled, as you say, gnarled and grizzled.
I never said
and,
that.
And saggy. And
saggy
you
as well now. Okay.
Have lost the desire to have a baby. But
no, I know what the reality is.
Exactly.
Me? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. But if
I'm done.
I know. We got the idea. The shop is closed and the council are going to come and knock it down and build flats. We get that. But at the moment...
You're going to turn it into a wine bar.
But at the moment, there are some homeless people squatting in there. And it's graffitied and smells of spice. But
all right!
We're moving in a newsier direction, guys. I really hope you're picking up on that.
That sounded like just a stream of insults to me, but actually it was a comment on modern-day society.
You know, the head of the Arias is going, can we get those guys off of those two lists? Can we just remove them from those two lists? I thought the whole show was saving people's lives. I didn't realise it was filth and misogyny. But what I'm saying is, if you're desperate for a baby... One would imagine you would go to any lengths. Well, we talked about the people on Facebook who would get mucky sods coming round, you know, special delivery.
Yeah.
So you, some
the
people...
The problem being that these fellas, the Facebook fellas as well...
One fella had done it like 100 times.
Well, there you go. And before you know it, you've got kids growing up and not realising that they are hooking up with their siblings.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very real possibility.
It really is. It really is. Yeah.
Hello, Ian. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, hello, Stephen.
So, I just wanted to correct you. It's not mucky. I have been a Facebook donor.
So, why don't you tell us how you do it?
Right. So, it's a bit like a dating site. You have to find your own agreements between the people. You know what I mean? So you're right that one couple I helped were a lesbian couple, but another was a single woman who had a teenage daughter, but she wanted another baby, but didn't want a man in her life. She was through with men. She'd broken up with her partner, but she just wanted a second child. So there's no money changing hands. The woman has to pay for, like, a cheap hotel if you travel to her town, and she pays your travel expenses. So a train to, you know, it'd be unfair of me to give locations,
train,
I guess.
It's over train to Bangor.
Yeah. If it was
in Wales.
A train and then, say, a room in a Travelodge or Premier Inn or...
Classy.
You know, anywhere like that.
Yeah.
And then... lead me to it, and then, you know, she'd provide a container and say, text me when you're done. She'd come to the hotel once I've texted her back and said, yeah, well, I've done what I've done. And then she'd take it back to her place and syringe herself.
The turkey baster. And how does she know that you're clean?
They take your word for it, basically.
Flipping out. Well, that is stupid.
Well,
that's stupid. That's really, really dumb and dangerous.
They both those examples, both the lesbian couple and the single woman, both sort of chatted to me prior to it.
Oh, they chatted to you, and they halfway through they snuck in. Have you got AIDS? No. Ah, Okay. That's really dumb. Stephen, you got to admit, that's dumb. To not have any medical checks on a sperm donor is dumb. That's a really selfish, silly thing to do.
I mean, I knew I was clean.
When were you last tested?
Oh, quite a long time ago.
Okay, and have you had sex?
Yes.
Right. How do you know you're clean?
Well, I tend to use protection myself.
Right. It's not infallible.
I know.
So how do you know you're clean? Not trying to catch you out, but genuinely, we don't. You don't. And a lot of these, from watching the excellent Channel 4 documentary Sex Clinic, a lot of these STIs, or whatever they are now, I always get slightly wrong, they can be in you for years and not have any symptoms. So you don't know you're clean. I've got to say, again, people, this shows how desperate people are, but the potential mums, to not get any medical check. This is why doing sperm donorship officially is good, because the sperm is checked to make sure it's not, you know, the person is checked out to make sure there's no infectious diseases.
You see, Bart, you're right, what you said earlier, one of you, that these people cannot do it through the NHS because they don't qualify, or, you know, like in the case of the single woman, she already had a child, so, well, she's in the back of the queue, you know.
So you do back, you're happy to, honestly, I mean, listen, no, I'm going to, yeah. Oh, God damn it, I'm going to, it sounds dumb, it sounds dangerous, it sounds absolutely ridiculous.
But if, like you said, if women are desperate enough,
they'll take a risk at maybe giving their baby HIV or something, or getting murdered in a travelodge, or any kind of not. Well, yeah, Stephen, yes, because there is no protection for them in all senses of the word.
They're not going to be murdered, Ian. You're going to be extravagant.
No, I'm not being extravagant. You're going to go and masturbate in a hotel room, and they're going to come and collect it. Yeah, there's a chance they could get murdered, mate. I'm not saying you're a murderer and you say you're clean. Well, you haven't been tested, so you don't know. But, yeah, they could get murdered. They're going to meet a strange man in a hotel room for semen.
No, because in the case of the lesbian couple, they stayed in the same hotel, which was clever of them because time is of the essence, you know, because time matters, you know, because it starts to...
It starts to congeal. You're not addressing the murder potential, and it's not, I'm not being flippant, and we're late for the news, we'll go to it. I'm not being flippant, I'm being genuine. That's a real risk to a woman who is in such a desperate position that she's having to use backstreet, I don't know if it's illegal or not,
no,
probably not, it's probably a bit fuzzy, but is having to use a backstreet method to get semen from a strange bloke, with respect, that she's met off Facebook. Yes, of course there's a potential to be attacked.
But, look, the lesbian couple, were a few doors away from me. So I did what I did. When I'd finished, I knocked on their door and said,
"Room service."
Hand it over. You know, I mean, there were two of them. There was one of me.
Yeah, because one man's never murdered two women before. I think you're deliberately avoiding the point that there is certainly, not necessarily in your case, but there is certainly an element of risk for personal safety for the woman involved, meeting a bloke on Facebook who's prepared to masturbate in a hotel bathroom for them.
Yeah, it's very offensive thinking of me as a murderer, Ian. Come on. I mean, you know.
Well, Stephen, you're not listening, because I said, I didn't say you were a murderer.
Well, you said potential murder. I mean, come on.
No, Stephen, you're not... Here's what I'm finding a lot of people doing. You're not listening.
You said potential murder. Yeah, I know, potential.
No, you're not... you're not listening. I said it probably isn't you. But you could be a potential murderer, yes.
Yeah, but you could, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could be. But I'm not meeting women in hotel rooms and masturbating for them so they can get pregnant.
Well, it didn't harm anyone.
Well, you don't know. I'm just speaking as I find it. How much do you charge for this?
No, you're not allowed to charge either way. You don't pay them, they don't pay you.
So you're just doing it for the... So what, is this a kick? You're getting a kick out of this? Is this a kink?
Look, I've not been so lucky as you two. I've never been married. I've never fathered children. I've got an illness. I might pass away before very long. And I'd like to have the psychological... knowing that I fathered children.
So it's selfish. I thought you were being altruistic. So it's selfish on your part.
In a way, but also
that's
they
awful.
Wanted to have children as
that's
well.
That's awful.
So,
That makes it even worse. If you don't mind me asking, what's your illness? Is it genetic?
No, it won't be passed on to them. No. Okay,
that's really sad. So, do you ever meet these kids?
No, as it happened, neither example took. The single woman was too far from her town. She lived in a village miles away from the town in which I was based at, and she took forever to drive to collect it. And I knew that probably wouldn't work because the temperature would have changed it.
See, here's the thing, Stephen. You're messing around with science and medicine when neither of you have a clue what you're doing. It is dangerous. It is dangerous. It is arrogant on your part. It was too far for her to drive. Dear God. Listen, I'm sure you probably got a really easy ride on James Whale's show. In all honesty, this makes me very, very uncomfortable. I'm not convinced that anybody involved in this is doing this for the right reasons. And to get semen from someone you've met on Facebook, I bought a stereo on Facebook that didn't work. So for God's sakes, who knows what kind of diseases that people like you, not you, people like you might have. No, I think that sounds very, very dodgy. I would recommend everyone do it. Everyone, if you want to do it officially. Don't meet a sperm donor on Facebook.
What about people that put powder up their nose, which I've never done? I mean, I suppose that's fine and dandy, is it, to put powder up your nose?
Are you having a dig at me for being a cocaine addict? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Why?
You seem to be very proud of being a druggie and an alcoholic. You bring up every single episode of this show.
No, incorrect, Stephen.
Look at me. No. I've struggled. Some of us have had a bloody tough life.
Stephen.
You know, Christ.
I've had a tough life. No, what I'm proud of, Stephen... What I'm proud of, and if you don't like the show, very, very welcome to switch off. In fact, I wish you would.
Thank you.
But what you're ignoring... Oh, he's put the phone down!
Across the UK, online, on DAB, and on your smart speaker, the best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. These are uncertain times in the world, and for me personally and professionally and all of those kind of things. And there's, you know, there's stuff I can say and stuff I can't say. What I can say is, I think I can say this, because we talk a lot about mental health and depression and anxiety. And I'm struggling to find the joy in the radio show at the moment. Something I'm so proud of, this thing that me and Catherine have created, with help from Sam and with help from Amy, we have created this thing, right? This thing, and you know, we're up for two awards because we've created such a generally a friendly place that someone who was at their lowest ebb, who was dying, chose us to speak to say, I might have made a mistake here. He did die. He brought back to life, but he did die. And when he got to hospital, and they had to put him in a life support machine and bring him back to life. And as far as I know, he's still alive. Not spoken to him for a while. And I'm so proud of this show. So proud of this show, man. This is the show I always wanted to do. This is it. This is it. Right? And just recently, this year, I've struggled to have the joy for it. And as the day gets closer to me coming into work, I get a knot in my stomach. A knot. Stomach ache. Remember when I thought I had bowel cancer? And it turned out it was stress. It was stress because of stuff that was going on elsewhere in my life. And I managed to work it out because when I was away from that situation, the stomach would go. And when I was thinking or going towards that situation, it got worse. And it's the same stomach that I've had this year coming to work, just this knot that's like, is my little alarm system going, saying, yeah, something's not right, dude. Something is not right. And it's a very uncertain industry that we work in. You never know. It's an industry that is quite often fueled by numbers, sometimes irrationally. It's not fueled by numbers. It can be fueled by egos or personalities or fashion, or it can be all kinds of things. There's no real... Apart from a few people, there's no real formula as to how you keep a job in this industry, right? And I'm really starting to think maybe I need quite a bit of time off. Maybe I need quite a bit of time off away from... Hey, listen, right, I'm going to say this is stressful. I get, you know, if you're a nurse or if you're a bin man, or if you're a firefighter. I get it. But your example of stress doesn't necessarily invalidate my... Okay, good, good. If you think you're in the right, Ian Lee, why are you going to issue an arse-licking apology to James Whale? Your time at Talk Radio will soon be up because everyone is sick of your far-left politics.
Oh.
This I got part with, far-left politics. Your stress does not invalidate the stress that I find from day to day. I'm going to call it now. I'm taking the next 2 days off. I'm calling that now in case if I'm not in tomorrow and people go, Ian's not in. What's happened? I'm calling now. I'm taking the next 2 days off, right? Because I just need to play video games. I need to meditate. I need to ride my scooter. I need to walk in the fresh air. I need to see my kids. Really need to see my kids. Oh, God, I miss my boys so much at the moment. And I just need to totally recalibrate. So I'm calling it now. Thursday and Friday, I ain't in. Catherine, I'm hoping it's going to be you. We just don't know how things work these days, but I'm hoping it's going to be you. I hope you don't mind me doing that.
No,
you
of
knew
course
I was
not.
Considering Friday.
Listen, do what you need to do.
Exactly. I just need to relax. I need to have a bath. I need to play some Call of Duty. I need to do some like silly streaming. I just need to kind of be out of this box just for a few days, right? And hopefully, and I'm sure I can, I know I can, reconnect with the passion that I have for this job and the passion that I have for radio. Because at the moment, I'm not digging radio as an industry. I think it's very toxic. I think it's very poisonous. I think there's some awful views, you know, that are being espoused that get all kinds of claps and things like that. So I'm going to take the next 2 days off. And fingers crossed, I haven't talked myself out of a job. You never know. I might have done. Okay, that's the way it goes. Tonight we are going to have a fun show. We're going to have fun. Sam's feeling a bit uncomfortable. I'm feeling uncomfortable. You're not Sam. What's your name? Sorry, lady.
Catherine.
That's it. She's a bit uncomfortable. But that's when magic happens. that's when the magic actually happens. 0344 499 1000. Let's go to Katie. Good evening, Katie. That's you.
I phoned up before, I hadn't listened tonight, and I phoned up without listening to. I'm not sure, what's going on, but I don't, just hearing that then, I don't know if what I was going to say is, going to be appropriate.
Anyone can say between now and 1 o'clock is appropriate.
It's a bit heavy. I'm going to be a heavy one tonight.
You want to say some heavy... Anybody can phone up. I'll tell you what we'll do. For the next hour, we're going to take calls straight to air. And Sam, you'd be very welcome to come and join us if you want. If you feel a bit uncomfortable after what's happened, you don't need to. I'm going to tell you. But anyone can phone up and say anything they want, all right?
Yeah.
So go on.
I'll keep it brief. I'm not going to go into details, but I'm having a lot of bad... So I'm going through a situation with my baby's dad at the minute.
Oh, go on.
Where he's going to prison, basically, because of things that have happened and to me. And I'm just wondering when it gets better, man. Sorry.
No. You've had nothing. What have you got? Nothing to be sorry about. So he's going to prison.
Yeah.
So what are the consequences of that for you? Because I don't know the situation, right? So tell me, why is that bad?
I think it's more the emotional side that comes with it.
Go on.
We were together for 3 years. It's not that long, but we've had a baby together and we went through some really bad times.
You just can hear Sam moving the microphone. It's going to be a little bit noisy. There's no way around it. I apologise. He's got it. Go on. Go on. Sorry, Katie.
So I think it's more just... It's a bit of an emotional rollercoaster, really.
Does him being in prison make you and your baby safer?
Yeah. It's some days are a lot easier than others to deal with. And he's not actually away yet. He's got caught. I don't even know when court is. The police have been really bad keeping me updated with everything.
In terms, so he's going to go to court for sentencing.
Yes.
So he's been found guilty.
So he's. Well, I'm not even sure.
All right. Well, then let's not dwell on that any further because I don't want to get in trouble about that. Let's talk about how an ex-partner being away could impact on you, and if there's any way we can kind of twist it around. So if someone like that does go to prison, that makes your baby safer.
Yeah.
That's got to be the... I would imagine that is the main point, isn't it?
It is, it is the main thing, and I know that logically, in the logical brain, I know that. I feel like... And some days, most days, since everything that's gone on, I've been all right, and I can stay logical, and I can, I can get through the day, and I've got goals and stuff, whatever, but some days it's just...
Are you still in love with him?
No, that's the thing, I'm not.
Oh, there we go. Okay, well, that makes it easier. It's all relative, but that's one... That's one significant complication that you don't have.
Yeah. It's just more Stockholm Syndrome, I think, more than anything.
Oh, mate. Right.
It's more like when you've got this deep, like... I don't even want to say loyalty, because that's like a positive word.
Let me tell you something. No, Catherine, you go first.
I'm imagining all kinds of scenarios, but I'm also imagining what you're talking about is having kind of... In order to survive, getting used to a certain way of living and a certain way of coping with it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, Katie. You are an inspiration, right? You are, I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this in a patronising way. You have inspired me, right? You've had issues with drugs, and you've been working on that. You've got a baby who loves you and who you love, and there have been issues around that, and you have totally worked on that. And from our brief phone calls, not so brief sometimes, I know that you are the best mum to that baby, not baby now, but the best mum to that child that you could possibly be at this precise moment in time. You could not right now be any better as a mum than you are now. Your life has been a mess and has been a car crash. Partly some of it's been your doing in terms of the, you know, the drugs and all of that. But also it sounds with your ex and with, you know, there's been a lot of stuff out of your control as well, right? You deserve the very, very best that you can get. Both you and your baby deserve the very, very best that you can get. And if you keep going in the direction that me and Catherine and Sam have heard you going, I guarantee that your baby is going to love you so much. They love you now, but they're going to love you so much. And at some point, for a lot of their life, they're not going to appreciate what you're doing. At some point, they're going to appreciate it. And they're going to go, oh, man, I finally worked out just exactly how much effort Mum put in to bringing me up.
Yeah.
You're a brilliant person, Katie. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. And you are loved by your child. And who knows, at some point in your life, you might be loved by a partner. I don't know. That may not happen. It's not everyone's journey. But you deserve to be loved. You are precious, priceless and valuable.
Thank you.
And I mean that. Catherine, you were going to say something.
I've been doing a little bit of reading around this kind of stuff. And again, because you've not been specific, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions as to what exactly has been going on. But what I'm hearing is that you've come through quite a really difficult relationship, right? That's kind of pushed you into unhealthy coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Really, really common for women to get to harm themselves with drink and drugs as a way to sort of cope with the everyday horror of what they're living with, right? So obviously, you know, there's no judgment in this show for that. I'm just wondering whether if you talk to like an organization like, I don't know, like Refuge, they have like a 24-hour helpline, and they might be able to get you some, I don't know, talking therapy or something, because it's now kind of, you're rebuilding, aren't you? And
yeah, and it's harder than... It's this part of it. It is harder than, it sounds mad, but it's harder than when stuff was actually really bad, because at least then...
You knew what was going to happen.
I knew what was happening, but now it's more like, I feel a bit left in the lurch. And I'm like, okay, so the bad stuff's over, but, like, what now? What do I do now?
I get it. You feel like you're in free fall. This organisation is, you know, run specifically for people like you, by people like you. And I think maybe getting in a situation, I don't know how they can help, but I'm pretty sure they're brilliant. But maybe getting you in contact with people who are going through the same thing, it's like a sort of, you don't have to explain it to people that have experienced it too, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that might be helpful. So I was wondering, I don't know if you want this phone number, I can give you the phone number.
Please, yeah, because I've not got any data or Wi-Fi or anything, but yeah, if you could give me the number, that'd be great.
Yeah, of course. All right, it's 0808 2000.
Yeah.
247. That's 0808 2000 247. And also I wanted to say, but you, by you talking and saying as much as you have, and I'm glad that you've not said anything you're not comfortable with, there'll be so many women and some men listening to this now thinking, ah, I'm not on my own.
And Katie, one more thing before you go, would you mind if I just played you something, it's going to sound really cheesy, but can I just play you a brief clip of something that just helps me out when I'm struggling?
Yeah.
Do you mind?
No, yeah, go for it. French kisses. Come, let me give you what you're
missing. You want some of these French kisses? Mwah! I'm going to make you say, ooh la la. Does that help at all, Katie?
That's literally sorting my life out. Thank you.
Katie, thank you very much indeed. There you go. Best of luck.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll take calls straight to air, I think, for the next 45 minutes at least, maybe a little bit longer. Sam, who answers the phones, is going to come in and join us when he's... I was going to say when he's finished fiddling with his knobs, but that's such a 90s kind of... Mike Mendoza used to call his tech op...
His a knob twiddler?
Knob... No, it was more... It was no, it wasn't knob... Knob jockey.
No!
Yeah, that was it. Knob jockey. Knob jockey. Yeah. Yeah.
Some comedy does not age well.
Mike Mendoza does not age well. I like Mike. I've not spoken to Mike for ages. Sammy Bushnell?
Yeah.
I've not really seen you. Because you've been away.
Yeah, well, away for a couple of weeks. And then, obviously, there was Christmas. And then, since I've been back.
Everything all right?
Yeah, except, well, I got a 60 quid phone bill today from a bit of an adventure that we had over Christmas.
What did you do?
So I know I told you the loose story about this yesterday. So... went skiing with a couple of friends in Andorra. One day we've gotten back, gone straight from the slopes and to have a couple of drinks. So I had a couple, then went back, got changed, went out. By the time we come back, my mate Lee said that he was missing his phone, couldn't find it.
Yeah.
So first thing we did was that...
My face, excuse me.
So the other guy we were with, he phoned, try and see if we could hear it in the place. Couldn't. Went on to find my iPhone and saw that it was either in our block or one next door to us.
Yeah.
So, initially we've seen... So I've then phoned it and someone's picked up. Can't understand what they're saying. So we're assuming that someone's got his phone nearby.
Yeah.
So we saw outside a couple of people that were, like, on a phone. So we've stopped...
That looked like criminals.
Yeah, so we've stopped people and said, is this... am I talking to them that... Obviously, nothing. I've then thought, okay, I can't understand this person on the phone. I'll go downstairs to the receptionist because I'm assuming they're speaking Spanish.
Were you in Spain?
We were in Andorra.
Is that
they speak Spanish?
They speak Spanish and other languages.
I'm taking your word for it, guys. We could be leading me a merry dance here.
But yeah, so the receptionist has tried talking to the person on the other end of the phone. He can't understand what they're saying, and it. He thinks he gathered from what they were saying that they were talking Arabic. And so he's now on Google trying to do, like, Arabic to Spanish so he knows what they're saying.
I'm getting slightly uncomfortable with the racial profiling of this
Meanwhile, I'm looking at the hotels next to us to see sort of who's in and been knocking on doors saying, oh, have you got this phone, yada, yada, yada. Basically trying that for about an hour.
Oy.
Absolutely nothing. Then I had the idea of FaceTiming it. Nothing. It didn't pick up.
Why did you only have the idea of that
after
an hour?
I know.
If only there was some way of making visual communication with this device. I mean, what? But,
listen, panic is a powerful thing.
But yeah, that didn't pick up. And then, so after about an hour and a half of trying, we've given up, gone back to the room, and he's gone back on the laptop because you can like shut your phone down mm-hmm. on the computer.
Wow.
And then, but while he's doing that, he's spotted that you can basically press a button so it just turns your phone on, like if it's on sign and it just turns it on to max volume and just makes it make this beeping sound.
Yeah.
So we're in the hotel and we press that and there's a beeping coming from the bathroom.
Oh, back, you're kidding
me. And he's left it in his trouser pocket, right? So yes, that's stupid, but we've looked at his phone and he's got the call logs of all the phone calls that I've had with him, but I want to know who the hell was I speaking to?
Well, were you speaking to people or was it a recorded message?
We're not sure. I think it was an actual person from the...
Kids.
It could have been.
So you got a £60 bill because of that, yeah. Which you're going to give to him, right?
No, so he's got to pay me back.
He's going
to
pay
is
you
it
that.
A £60 yeah. bill talking to yourself?
Yeah. Wow. But like, I just want to know who I was... Why was it connecting me?
It was probably...
It was his number.
Well, I just looked it up. Andorra, they speak Catalan primarily, which is a tricky language, right, yeah. And Spanish, and French, and Portuguese. So, Kath I reckon it's Catalan.
Kath would have helped you.
But no, I can't speak Catalan.
It was just a weird situation, because I have no idea who I was speaking to the entire time. It was his number, and his phone was saying that...
You wouldn't have done this because you're a young man, but Kath, you would have done this... Did you ever used to, when mum and dad were out or asleep, we had a little thin, with the phone books, we had a thinner blue book that had all the international dialing codes in.
Right, yeah.
And I would pick one that spoke foreign.
Wow.
And I would dial the code and then we'd just like dial numbers. And sometimes you get a dead thing and we'd just keep dialing until someone answered.
No.
Never did that?
No, because I had like French pen friends and I had to... basically beg to be able to ring them up and it would cost an absolute fortune. Oh, so I knew...
You did it after six, obviously.
Oh, so we'd do it on the old 0800 reverse.
Sorry?
So, you know, there's this number 0800 reverse, so the person picking up is the one that pays for the call.
Reverse the charges?
Yeah. And so we do that, we just phone random people and with that.
What? So I didn't know reverse charges was still a thing.
No, well...
Do they still get the thing where they go, hello, we've got a caller called Stephen on the line. Would you like to take the call reverse charges? Yeah, okay. Putting you through, do they still do that?
I don't think that's... No, this was, 15 years ago. So I don't know if it's still a thing.
I wasn't born then. Hello, line one, you're on the wireless.
Hello, Ian.
Yep.
Hello, long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, for God's sakes, I'm going to get my bell out. Hang on. My bad.
Here it comes. There it is.
Yep.
With a bit of a twist, because I live in Oxfordshire, but I'm phoning you from Melbourne.
What the heck? This guy's insane. What's your name, my friend?
Richard.
Richard, what can we do for you on this wonderful evening, like morning, I suppose, in Melbourne? I don't know.
It's peeing down with rain in Melbourne, actually.
Good,
Thursday morning.
Good, says you're right.
I've been meaning to phone you for a long time, but I thought I would phone you now because I've actually come to Melbourne for my 50th birthday.
Yeah.
And also to do a stand-up comedy course next week. I've not done stand-up before, but I've decided at 50 to become a stand-up comic.
Yes, mate. Well done.
And so I've intentionally gone to the other side of the world where I don't know anybody, so I can die on stage and not be recognised.
I like your style. So how long are you out there for?
3.5 weeks. I've been here a week and a half. I've got another 2 weeks and a quarter is all of next week every evening.
Brilliant. And do you have any material prepared, or...?
I've got some material prepared, and they've also sent me a load of prequels work that I wasn't expecting, so that's been quite challenging.
Sent you a load of what?
Prequels work.
Prequels work. Oh, my God. Who's taking the course? Yeah. Is anyone famous?
I think they're famous in Australia. A guy called Murray Morgan.
Murray Morgan?
No, Murray, M-O-R-R-Y.
I know that name.
It's the School of Hard Knocks. The School of Hard Knock Knocks comedy.
School of Hard Knock Knocks. They, hang on a minute. They do not have a page on Wikipedia. Okay, let's have a little look-see here. There we go. I can't find him. Well, I wish you the very, very best of luck.
Thank you. I wanted to mention one other thing before I go, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
I'm cool.
I've been following your show for the last 3.5-4 years, and you share a lot of very personal stuff, which I respect you for. I've been a Samaritan for the last 15 years, and I know you do a lot of work
thank
with Samaritans.
Yeah, thank you very much for that.
I wanted to thank you for that, and to also thank you for encouraging listeners to save Samaritans when they need us.
I love it. You guys save, you, not you personally, but you saved my life on at least three occasions. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Hey, well, this is good. You can maybe slip a few jokes in to the suicidal people phoning up. That I don't know if that's appropriate. Could be worth a go.
Possibly not. I think some callers would probably appreciate it.
Hey, so, listen.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Thank you for the work you do, because genuinely, you've saved my life, and I know that you've helped a lot of people. Best of luck with the stand-up comedy. Give us a call and let us know how it goes.
I will. Thanks again, Louis.
Thanks a lot. What a nice guy. Yeah, wowzers. Wowzers. Let's go to the line. We're taking calls straight to air for a bit. Line 2, you're on the wireless. Yep, that's great. Thanks very much indeed. dearie me, dearie me. You go on holiday all the time, Sam. You do the, like, last-minute thing. Yeah. So you get flights for... How much was your flight to Andorra?
I don't know, because we did it through a package thing.
Right.
But I know that all in it, yeah, it wasn't an insane amount. Because I don't have kids. That helps. I can do it out of school term.
Man, that really does help.
Because I have one friend who gets really annoyed that we never invite him on holiday, but he's a school teacher, and it's like, unfortunately, we don't want to pay an extra £200 for the privilege of your company.
Oh, dearie me. We're going to take calls straight to air for a little bit, just to see where we go, where we end up in these ever-changing world in which we live in. I've got stuff to talk about. I'm sure you've got stuff to talk about. We'll just sit and we'll just chew the fat. Sam, you might want to move next door to get ready to hit the buttons in a second. He does all the button pressing that takes us into the news and all of that kind of stuff. If you do want to give us a call, it's really, really simple. We're not going to call you back immediately, so we will take your call straight to air. 0344... 499-1000 is the telephone number, is the number to give us a call. You're very, very welcome to call that. And you can call about anything, right? You want to play a tape down the phone, do. I would test it to make sure that we can hear it. Speakerphone is not great for that. If you want to phone up and talk about your mental health, your whatever, if you want to phone up and have a laugh, if you want to talk, we've got some stories. Okay, there's some stories in the papers that we might go through as well.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Except it's not, it's me, it's Catherine Boyle. I'm usually here with Ian, but we're a man down. It's all right, you'll be back on Monday, 0344 499 1000. We're talking about the complications of being part of a family and whether family has got to come first at all times and whether it's possible to do that, really. No one's from a perfect family, are they? 0344 499 1000. We're also talking about... Oh, yeah, I wanted to ask you about... Can someone explain to me what this lip thing is, right? Because I've noticed that they're not even surgeries. Some beauticians are offering like an Insta face. Have you seen this? Well, they'll do your eyebrows, those nice big thick eyebrows. I'm all about, I like thick eyebrows. I like a pair of thick eyebrows. I was always warned never to pluck them too thin because they won't grow back. My mum had those sort of 70s eyebrows that look like paisley, you know, like a tadpole. I was always warned, don't do that. So thick eyebrows they'll give you. Fillers, I mean, and we're talking about women in their early 20s, before things have started to go south or fall off, they're doing these things. And great big lips. But the thing is, because these things are quite pricey, there are companies on social media, Instagram, Facebook, that will send you the equipment to do these procedures on yourself. Now, I know it sounds like a terrible idea, but I also know what it was like when I was in my 20s and hard up. I might well have... I'd like to think I wouldn't, but I was as daft as everyone else. I'd like to think I wouldn't have done it, but, you know, end up with these great... Have a look online, honestly. Some of these girls are ending up with, and boys, are ending up with great... Do you remember Ivy Tilsley when she did her lips? And everyone was supposed to not have noticed that this, you know, long-running character in Coronation Street had quite a remarkable makeover. Some women are coming out looking like that, like a character from The Simpsons.
or more like one of those fish that sticks on the side of a fish tank, you know, one of those. I mean, it's not a natural look. It's not a natural look at all, but I think it's something that we're getting used to seeing more and more, and maybe it's something... I'm hoping what it's going to do is... Do you remember when people started getting obvious boob jobs in the 90s, where they looked like two balm cakes stuck on, like on an ironing board, when you could see the roundy bit at the top as well as at the bottom? I'm hoping that what's going to happen with this is that we'll all realise it's a daft look and move on, and maybe embrace something a bit more natural. But that's because I'm an old fart. I am going to have to stop my daughters at some point, aren't I, from, quote-unquote, enhancing themselves. Unless something very radical changes in the next 10 years or so. 03444991000. If you fancy getting something done, I'd love to talk to you. Or if you've had something done, is it possible to get these procedures done with your lips, for example, where you don't look like you've been punched in the kisser? 03444991000. And also, because it's getting a little bit dark, and I don't mind that, it's my job to navigate the waterways of conversation with you tonight. But rather than being completely dark all the time, we were talking a bit at the start of the programme about looking for the joy in life, because it's that time of year where everything's a little bit depressing. We've got Christmas has been and gone, and we're back in the swing of things. What are you looking forward to? Let's have a talk about that. What's the next thing you're really looking forward to? I'd love to hear those stories. 0344 499 1000. First, though, let's have a quick word with Andrew. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Catherine.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I need to say I was pissed my friend Seth in there when he said to me the boob jobs with the roundy bits at the bottom.
You know exactly what I'm talking about, though, don't
I know,
you?
Yeah, I know exactly. They're not the most attractive.
No, but for a while, anyway, that was what they were supposed to look like. Do you know what I mean? The Mitchell brothers peeping out the top of your... Anyway, go on, Andrew. You've not come here to talk filth.
No, I was just phoned you when you were talking about the family thing.
Yeah.
My family's awfully fractured.
Really?
I've got a brother that's disappeared. Nobody knows where he is. He was a golden boy as well. My mum loved him. And me and my sister have had disagreements. Families are funny things, aren't they?
They are very funny things. But so, have you always been that sort of family that rowed, or did something in particular happen?
Just things happened. It's bizarre. It's just a strange thing.
Yeah.
I've got one brother, two brothers, and a sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister, that's talk to me anymore. That I say one of the brothers had disappeared, but me and the other brother are just thieves. You know what I mean? It's a funny thing with families.
Do you think you're better off this way rather than trying to make it, you know, happy families?
No, I've tried.
You just don't get on.
I've been in contact, but I went to my sister's a couple of months ago and cold at the door.
Sorry, what was that? You're a bit muffled. Tell me again.
I went to my sister's the other month, cold at the door.
Yeah, what happened?
And it went well. But then she texted me after I'd left, going, "Don't ever turn up at my door again."
Oh, really? That's weird.
Oh, that is weird. Oh, that is weird.
What's going on there, do you think?
No idea. As you said, you were saying that earlier as well about cousins and things. Well, yeah, I got on better with my cousins than doing it my actual siblings.
Do you think maybe because there's less pressure to get on?
Probably.
A bit more space.
It could be indeed.
It's just the way it goes sometimes, I wonder. You don't seem... I mean, how do you feel about it? You don't seem massively bothered.
No, it really does make me sad.
Yeah.
As I say, especially the other brother that's not been touched. I mean, my father passed away, and he's not got any idea, because none of us know where he is.
God. What happened with him then? What did he? Did he tell you he was cutting himself? No. Was it obvious that he wasn't?
No, he was. Oh, God, how do I explain this? As I say, he was the golden boy. He was my mum's favourite. And then all of a sudden he just upped and went and never get in touch. As I say, he doesn't even know that his dad's passed away.
Gosh. He'll have reasons, won't he?
Oh, it was always a bit of a arsehole.
That's probably the limit what we can say on the radio, but I know what you mean.
He used to. Yeah, he was a bit of a bully.
Oh, really? But your sister, you think there might be hope there, but what was the thing?
We're still in contact, but I don't know.
Can I make a suggestion? Because obviously she doesn't like being confronted on the doorstep, and maybe the reaction you got wasn't entirely real, and it was only afterwards that you got the real reaction, and that must have hurt, by the way. That's horrible. What about if you were to write her a letter and put everything in it? Nothing aggressive or angry or anything like that, but just telling her how you feel about her not being so much in your life anymore. And then you leave the ball in her court there, but you've said it.
No, that's fine with that. That's good. As I say, I do miss her. She was my best pal growing up.
Tell her. Because the worst thing that can happen is it stays the same as it is.
Aye.
Andrew, you're a nice fella, I can tell.
Oh, I'll get my faults, but I'm not the worst.
No, exactly. Write them down. And I don't know if you've got someone who could just read it through to make sure there's nothing in there that could cause offence or anything like that. But then just stick it through the letterbox and see what happens. And then at least you've tried.
I'll do that.
And you know what? Even if you just write it and don't send it, it's probably worth just getting it out on a page anyway.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Hello, Damien.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for hanging on. What have you got?
I'm going to lighten things up a bit for you.
Go on.
And family as well. Two in one. I was given up for adoption in 1973. And I just met my biological mum and sister.
Wow.
Before Christmas. And I just feel, I was just listening to Andrew and my heart goes out to him because I've had two wonderful families now that have been rooting for me for all these years, 47 years.
Right, so you met your mum and she was up for, because you hear these horror stories, don't you? And everyone's got expectations and and it's very easy to be disappointed because, you know, lives go in different directions, so tell me as much as you can about how it came about, Damien. I'm really interested.
It came about just before Christmas when I was buying some presents. I bought a DNA test for my parents' dog.
Whoa, hang on a minute. For the dog?
Yeah, for the dog. And I was talking to my other half.
The dog's been having an existential crisis, doesn't know who he is anymore.
He's fine. We just wanted to know what breed he was. You know, he's a bit of a mongrel.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd love to do this about, for me, you know, where I come from, because I've always known I was adopted. And I said, it'd probably be cheaper to just find my biological family, wouldn't it, rather than, you know, do a human DNA test. And no sooner had I said that, my other half went out, and in that time, in about half an hour, I went on Facebook. I already knew my biological sister's name.
All right. How did you find that out?
That was from the adoption agency.
Okay.
He gave me loads of details about 10 years ago. And the power of Facebook, there she was. And I didn't message her directly. I messaged her husband because I didn't want to freak her out if she didn't know about me.
Yeah.
And he got in touch within 5 minutes saying she's been searching for you for your whole life.
Oh, Damien.
So, yeah, and within a week we'd met. I met my sister. Then 2 weeks later I met my biological mum.
God, what was that like, standing on the doorstep of this sister?
Just amazing. It just felt completely fine. You know, for years, for all my life, I think I'd kind of been in denial. I didn't need to meet them. I didn't need to know anymore. But
why? Because it felt sort of disloyal to your family.
Yeah, yeah. There's that element to it, and also I'd had such a great, you know, childhood. I've had, you know, my family's amazing. I've got, you know, my adoptive parents and an adoptive sister as well, and I couldn't have asked for more. You know, I've never had any problems with the family, so I never felt the need to look any further.
Yeah.
You know, I just listened to Andrew and hearing about, you know, family arguments and fallouts over, you know, usually such silly things.
Yeah, and the longer it goes on, the easier it is to just let it go.
Yeah, yeah, when you could just say what you need to say.
Yeah. So this sister, she knew about you, presumably, for years, yeah. You say?
Yeah, she's two and a half years older than me.
Gosh, does she remember then? Does she remember you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she'd been searching for me forever, but because I'd obviously had my name changed, they'd given me my name at birth, but then, of course, it's changed by the adoptive parents, and she would have no clue of where to look for me.
Gosh. So, did you find you had a lot in common? Was it an easy thing to just start a relationship? Or?
Yeah. We may as well be twins.
Wow.
The similarities are incredible. It just feels, you know, for years and years, I imagined in my mind how that would feel to meet them if I ever did, not thinking it would happen.
Yeah.
I've suffered with anxiety and depression for years, probably maybe related to, you know, to adoption issues. But I had no fear. I had no sense of anxiety or emotional upset. You know, it's a very emotional thing. But I just felt really great. I just felt really calm.
Gosh.
And my adoptive parents and my sister my adoptive sister have been great about it as well, so.
Yeah. Were you worried about telling them that that's what you wanted to do, or no?
No.
Oh, no, your sister's the one that...
No,
it was your other half, wasn't it? Yeah. It was your other half that... What was it you said? Within 5 minutes, your other half had... What's she done?
Oh, no. Within 5 minutes, my biological sister's husband had contacted
me.
I contacted him first. Sort of as a soft way to approach.
And that's brilliant. That's really thoughtful.
Well, you know, she may not have known about me, and that could destroy somebody's life, you know. Instead of.
And did you know the circumstances of your being put up for adoption, or?
Yeah, I know everything. I know everything. It was just, you know, one of those things. My biological mum really wanted to keep me, and my biological dad absolutely didn't. And at that time in the 70s, there were few options, and thankfully they did the right thing and gave me the best life they could.
Yeah. So from the sister, then you meet the mum. What was that like?
Oh, just the same. Amazing. Really good. So now I've got two families to deal with.
yeah, and you've got another set of birthdays to remember and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
it sounds great. So how did your mum feel about finding you? I mean, that's a ridiculous question, but what she told you?
She's told me everything. Yeah. I think I've always been a really open person, and they're the same, and we've talked about everything. And she was very, very guilty, you know. She felt like she had to make up for all these years, 47 years. And I said, you have nothing to be guilty for. You gave me the best life possible. What were the alternatives? You know, I could have ended up anywhere, you know, or not here at all.
Yeah, or so, being raised by a dad that didn't want you.
Absolutely.
What's happened to that biological father?
We don't know.
Right.
And we don't care. That's fine. You know, I kind of realise where my traits come from, and they're certainly not from him, from what I've been told about him. But
right, gosh,
you know, that's all good.
And how is it impacted on your mental health now? You talked about anxiety and depression. Do you feel any lift there, or
a massive lift?
Isn't it funny?
Massively, massive difference. You know, you can go through your life being adopted, and you think everything's fine, but you wonder if you're living the life you should be.
Yeah.
you question your identity because you don't know your real roots. And now I feel like I've got my real roots along with the nurture of the family I've grown up with. So I'm just very lucky. Very, very lucky.
It's incredible. I mean, if you listen to this show, you'll know about a bit about Ian's kind of journey. And I hate the word journey, but you know what I mean. His experiences. Yeah. And how important authenticity and being honest and living a more straightforward life have done, the difference it's made, you know?
The secret to everything in life is simplicity and authenticity. Just simplify everything as far as you can. You know, we all complicate things and we all overthink things. You know, thoughts aren't things, they're just thoughts.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
We overthink things and make things such a big, you know, big deal. When in reality, we're much simpler people. We've overwhelmed ourselves, you know, with technology and social media and things like that. If we just simplify ourselves and go back to basics, small groups of friends, small, you know, family around us, they're the things you need.
Do you think also sometimes accepting that there are certain people that are no good for you in your life?
Oh, yeah, massively. Yeah, I had cancer treatment 2 years ago and found out exactly who the toxic people in my life were.
Wow, okay. That'll do it.
Oh, yeah. And it's very freeing. Yeah, I've wanted to speak to Ian for a long time, actually. I've heard, you know, but that's his journey, you know. But I would always be here if he needed me.
Ah, oh, you're a good one, Damien. Thanks very much for phoning.
Thank you.
Hey, I've got to ask you before you go, though, what's the next thing you're looking forward to?
Producing an album.
What?
I make music, so I'm going to produce an album.
Right, well, when you do, I want to hear about it.
You will do.
All right, you give me a shout. Thanks very much, Damien.
Thank you.
0344 499 1000.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Let's have a quick word with Geoffrey in Wigan. Hey, Geoffrey.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello. I bet you were gorgeous in your 20s, weren't you, Geoffrey?
Actually, I was looking at pictures with a friend the other day, and he saw a picture of me with an ex-girlfriend years ago, and he asked if it was two lesbians. So, I don't know.
So, in other words, yes, you were gorgeous.
Yeah, I guess so. I didn't really think so at the time, but looking back, I looked a lot better then than I do now.
I bet your skin was glorious, your eyes were shining.
Yeah.
Your bum was in the right place. I mean, mine certainly was.
Yeah, it was slightly less, it was more pert, you know. You know.
But you never appreciate it at the time, you're always trying to be someone else.
I was trying to be somewhere else. Yeah. I don't know about someone.
Go on, tell me.
I got really bored. By the time I was about 18, I got really bored and I had enough. So I just started saving up. Saved up for 2 years and I just went away, went travelling and didn't come back for years.
Where did you go?
I went through Southeast Asia sort of without a clue or a guidebook or much money. And I didn't appreciate things like they have different alphabets in these countries. I didn't research it very well. But then I got to Australia and New Zealand. That was really easy because, you know, same lingo, right?
Well, more or less, yeah.
Well, I know, there's a lot of slang. And I got a lot of the old Pommy comments there. My gosh.
Really? You didn't realise it was such a thing?
No, not really, but I kept telling them, like, they was the prisoners, we're the ones that didn't get put away, you know?
Oh, blimey, I'm sure they loved that one.
No, I didn't, no. No, not much.
So,
but yeah, it was good times, really, good times.
Do you think it did you good going away, or did you just end up bringing the same self back?
No, different self, family didn't really recognise when got back. No, really, I was very lacking in confidence completely when I went away, and by the time I came back, I'd done all these ridiculous jobs, and I don't know, you know, like shared room with 10, 12 people and kitchens with hundreds, and it changes you, and it opened my chances of communicating with people more easily, you know.
That whole thing of broadening your horizons.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And since that, like, I've never thought, anything of doing any job, like, I'd certainly try it, you know, I'd give it a go. Because you just have to when you're doing that.
Right. I've got a friend who did a similar thing, and she's got a kind of similar outlook in that nothing's forever. If you don't like it, you can try something else. It gave her that confidence to just chuck it in, because she knows she can pick it up wherever she wants.
Yeah, you kind of can, you know. Like, you just give something else a go and turn your hand to it and, you know.
I never did such a grand tour. I never did. It was never an option for me. I was always going to go straight from school to university, but I did languages at university, so I was away for a year. I did 6 months in Paris and 6 months in Zaragoza in Spain.
You've spoken about that before, yeah, and that's where you've got it's very strong in French, aren't you? But you speak other languages as well.
Just the French and Spanish. There's a couple of
slightly
other...
Slightly more than Ian.
Bits and bobs. Oh, yeah, well, Ian. But Ian says it with such conviction that, you know, there's no telling him he's not speaking whatever it might be. But what I learned from that time is that home is wherever you decide it needs to be.
Quite.
I did get a bit fed up of being foreign at some times, and having to explain things.
Yeah, but I still do now. Like, I live in the northwest now, and I come from Essex, so I still have to explain on a daily basis why I sound like this.
I bet they call you a Cockney, don't they?
They call me worse than that.
Yeah.
But Cockney's the first word, yeah.
I'm the other way around. I've lived down south since I was 10. And I think part of the reason why I kept hold of my accent, which, by the way, is not as strong as it was, but still,
it's
noticeable. I think part of it was that it was made a big deal of, and so, in a way, I kind of stuck my heels in a bit, you know?
Yeah, I think you do, yeah, I think you do.
Because for the first time, you can hear your own voice twanging away different from everyone else's.
Yeah, and it really it sticks out like a sore thumb, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you still find that down south now, or not really?
Oh, God, yeah, we had a double glazing salesman come the other day, and there were a number of things he did that, let's just say, didn't ingratiate himself.
Right.
But it sort of took the mickey out of my accent at one point, and I thought, mate, you're trying to sell me something.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah, it's...
the Yellow Pages over there, right?
It's not cool. Exactly. It's not cool. And also, he tried to school... Oh, this is the best one. He tried to school me on... I was wearing a Kiss T-shirt.
Right.
And then we got talking about various kind of music things, or rather, he got talking about it, and he tried to school me on... Basically, on the zombies and the animals, people we've actually interviewed. So I held back, but I was thinking, all right, now, just sell me some windows and bugger off, because you're not helping here at all.
Do you know what I'd do? I'd order about 20 windows for an house down the road that they don't like.
Well, in the end, he gave us a quote that we got matched and beaten, so it worked out for in our favour. But, I mean, some people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably time to move on for them. I think it's the old xenophobia, isn't it, still?
There is. Do you know what? There's a little bit of north-south stuff.
You're not, yeah, there really is, yeah, yeah. It was worse 20 years ago when I come up here, but it's,
oh, God.
It's still there, yeah.
When I first moved down south, people in my school thought I was American.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because it's that kind of town where no one ever leaves and no one ever comes in.
No one ever comes back if they do leave.
So, yeah, but anyway.
Anyway, I thought I'd give you a nice... Cheerful, upbeat phone call.
Thanks very much, Jeffrey.
No worries, mate.
What's the next thing you're looking forward to?
I just restarted my business today, so tomorrow I've got to get in touch with Company's House and get a VAT number and all that nonsense and get some business cards done, and I've still not published that bleeding book, and there's lots of things going on. It's good.
All right. Thanks very much for letting me know. Good luck with it. It sounds like a nightmare, but at the same time, you sound excited about it, so that's all.
Nightmares keep me alive.
Wow, okay.
All right.
On that bombshell. Thanks, Jeffrey.
See you there.
Good to speak to you. 03444991000. Coming up after the break, I think we will get a little bit spooky, and I'll tell you about the exorcist's wife who claims she was possessed by something that came out of the Ouija board. I know, but let's just go with it for now. 03444991000. And I've also got a story about... Oh, husband's distressing and disturbing request.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.